When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
It's time to get your swagger back with PointsBet Sportsbook. New customers download the PointsBet app today and sign up in any of PointsBet's live states with code PAGE to get 5 second chance bets up to $500. That's 5 straight days of second chances where PointsBet will match your losing wager in bet credits. Again, that's promo code PAGE and enjoy more live betting markets than ever before. PointsBet, your move. Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services or visit www.1800gambler.net.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Playing Around podcast with your girls, Paige and Sam. And we had a packed week of golf events, spectating, putting fun outfits together. I mean, because we were at the Masters, Augusta, Georgia. We did the podcast together. You guys love that podcast, by the way. And we're unfortunately not together right now. Sam, I'm missing you already because we had such a fun week in Augusta.
I'm missing you too. I feel like especially after we do the podcast together in person, that next one is like, damn, it was so fun last week when we were together.
I know. I was like talking to that intro and I was like, you know what? The vibes just aren't the same when we're not together. We thrive when we're right next to each other.
We do. And I feel like it's business for sure, but we have so much fun. And that's what makes traveling and doing these cool experiences so fun. We got to experience a practice round together, took a lot of pictures, had a lot of fun. So that was a blast.
First off, let's talk about the party because we were teasing that the day before we filmed What day is it? What state am I in?
Yeah, we dropped the podcast the morning of the party.
It was so much fun. Jimmy Allen absolutely crushed it on stage. And I made my DJing debut, meaning I pushed one button and picked two songs. But I really think it got the party starting.
And you picked your song.
I picked Hot in Here by Nelly. If you guys are a loyal listener of the podcast, you know the story behind that song. If not, I'm sure you can find it in some previous episodes. But yeah, it's my go-to song. Got to stick with it.
I mean, you're just begging for people to ask you to take your clothes off. They're singing it right at you.
I mean, it's hot in here, Sam. What else am I supposed to do?
It was a little hot in there. So I support the song. I support the song choice. But the party was so fun. The musical guests were great. We had a great group there. You know, lots of alcohol consumed, but late night for sure. But we had a blast.
The party was fun, but I think the Wednesday practice round might have been more fun. I haven't been to the Masters in a while, and Wednesday is the most sought after ticket. Of course, they do the par three contest, but it's just a fun day to go. And I know that's your favorite day.
It's definitely my favorite day. I would recommend going to a practice round day over a tournament day. Like if you had to go one time in your life, you could only go one time. That's what I would recommend. Yes, I do work in hashtag content and I would love the photos. So that's definitely part of it. But I think, you know, that I don't really subscribe to the whole watching golf in person thing. So we watched some of the course. We saw a couple golf shots, watched some guys in the range. ordered one of everything from the concessions and did a little taste test. So that was fun. But yeah, Wednesday was definitely the best day in my opinion.
So on the podcast before this one, I had a hot take that the pimento cheese sandwich was absolute garbage. And I'm going to retract my statement just slightly because that Wednesday I tried it again and it was surprisingly better than the first pimento cheese sandwich that I tried. And I believe it was because it was cold and not warm. The first one I had was like towards the end of the day. And I think they were just trying to get rid of them at that point. And it was warm. And I was telling you that and you're like, no, they shouldn't be warm. And so tried it again. Still not my favorite. It's not the best sandwich there, but it was surprisingly better than the last time I had it. And you said the power move is to get the egg salad sandwich and the pimento cheese salad sandwich, take one half of each and combine them to make the Master's mega sandwich. And that might have been the best sandwich.
A lot of people I was seeing are also doing the chicken sandwich with pimento and smushing those two together. That I bet is really good. For me, I want justice for the breakfast sandwich. I've been tweeting about it. I've been calling my friends and telling them I'm going to get a billboard. I think that it is bullshit that we're not talking about how great the breakfast sandwich is. Someone posted underneath my tweet and was like, it's giving Wendy's, but not in a bad way. And I'm like, that's absolutely correct. Sausage and bacon and egg and cheese, please.
There was someone in front of me getting the sandwich and they're like, is it sausage or bacon? And she's like, it's both, honey. They're like, we're putting them together. We're giving you the ultimate breakfast sandwich. But Sam, those peanut caramel clusters, oh my God. I think I had like 20 of those because people, they're like a hidden gem. You know, everyone gets the ice cream, the peach ice cream sandwich, and they talk about the moon pies. But that peanut, I mean, if you're not allergic to peanuts, but peanut caramel clusters, and they're always there. They never run out. And they are so good. So good.
Definitely underrated. I think there's a lot of items that nobody talks about. Like even the chocolate chip cookie is fantastic.
The oatmeal raisin cookie. Oh my God. Best cookie I've ever had. We could talk about the food forever. We should probably talk about the golf at some point. But I think one of my favorite things about going to golf tournaments and especially the Masters, because there are no cell phones. So you really just have to be in the moment and you have to talk to other people. You know, when you're just like sitting there or standing there, you can't just be like on your phone head down. So when you're standing and waiting, there's just a lot of discussions, a lot of little chitty chatter going on around you. And I want to introduce this segment called Overheard at Golf Courses. And this week it's going to be the Masters, because some of the shit that I heard just blew my mind. Like blew my mind.
I just want everybody to know that she texted me about this about 5 minutes before recording, and I have no idea what's about to come out of Paige's mouth. I just want that to be a disclaimer before she gets into it. Have at it.
So I went Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Thursday and Sunday, I went, you have to get there really, really, really early in the morning. So what you do is you have your chairs and you have to line up before the gates open at 7. And then as soon as the gates open at 7, everyone, you can't run, but they speed walk to the hole that they want to set their chairs down. Once you set your chairs down, you can do whatever you want and you come back when the golf is being played. But to get a good spot, you have to get to the parking lot at like 5:30 a.m. So you're sitting there literally waiting, just listening to people talk. I heard this guy ask.
Oh no.
If they cart the players between hole 12 and 13 because it's a long walk. Guys, if you've never been to the golf course or have seen it on TV, they're right next to each other. They're right next to each other. 11, 12, 13 are right next to each other. And the guy next to me goes, yeah, I mean, I think they do. They have courtesy cars, like courtesy shuttles. And I'm like, what?
That, I mean, tell me you had known nothing about the Masters without telling me. Yeah, I don't know about that one. What else you got?
That was one of my favorites. they were talking about past winners and how many times they won. And people couldn't, they were like, I think Tiger won in like 2020.
Okay, I have a hot take about this. I don't think those people deserve master's tickets. You should have to pass a general knowledge test to get into Augusta. I think either, whether it's golf specific or like master's trivia, you should have a better knowledge of what's going on. There's so many people who would cherish those tickets more than those people.
I sat on hole 6, which is a par 3, on Sunday, the final round, and to listen to the people talk about the shots they were hitting, it was a back pin. And so they had these like difficult little chip shots and pitch shots. And they were talking about like their technique and what they should do. And it's like, no wonder people are so bad at golf, because they're getting bad advice somewhere. Like, people are just pulling this out of their asses. Like, someone has told them to hit a bump and run, you put it forward, like front of your toe. No one has ever said that. That has never been a tip from anyone. No one.
And then they're going to get mad when they shoot 95 this weekend.
Oh my God.
I don't know what to do about that.
I didn't hear one insightful thing on the golf course. Not one. And I'm not being a hater, because I think that obviously to grow the game of golf, you have to be out there and you have to experience it. And, you know, I will go against your take for a second that, great, you know, you don't need to like golf or know golf to go and enjoy the Masters or a golf event. But when you and me are getting hate for our bad takes, and I didn't hear one good take on the golf course, I'm like, who are they listening to? Because they didn't even listen to Playground Podcast, because what? They knew nothing. Nothing about the game of golf. Nothing.
I don't know where those people get their instruction from. I guess my take comes from the fact that the tickets are so hard to get and that they would be more loved in someone else's hands. But that's just me being, you know, guilty and
wanting the tickets for yourself.
Yeah.
Sam is in her selfish girl era.
I'm in my jealous girl era.
I will say some other things that I noticed from being on the golf course is Matty Fitzpatrick is one of my new favorite players. On hole 6, he flew the green by about 20 yards and absolutely nailed this lady in her chest. Like, full on ball flew right into her titties. Like, you heard like the clunk, like the thump. And he was walking up and she, you know, she took it like a champ. She literally was like, yeah, I got hit, whatever. And that thing was coming hard and fast. And everyone was like whispering and they were like, is he gonna say something? Like, what is he gonna do? And he was walking over to the ball and he didn't say anything. And I was about to roast him on the podcast and be like the biggest hater of him. Cause like, how do you hit someone and not say something? And then he comes over, he's playing with Scottie Scheffler. Scotty hit a really great shot. He was like 5 feet from the pin. Obviously, I think he missed the putt because he can't putt. But then Matty Fitz came over to the lady and he goes, I am so incredibly sorry. We both hit the same club, and looked at Scotty. Everyone started dying laughing. He made a joke about it, finished the hole, made bogey, and then signed a glove and gave it to her.
Yeah, that's the least he could do. Can you imagine how bad that would hurt?
I haven't heard a sound like that before. Like, no one saw it. It was hard to see the ball coming because it was a bit cloudy at that point in the day. And all of a sudden, we just hear him hit, and the thump hit her. Like, the golf ball hit her. And I'm like, that must have hurt so bad. And she laughed it off. Like, she was such a champ about it. I would have cried. Like, I literally would have just, like, wept out of embarrassment and pain.
You got to think she might have been, like, playing it cool, because that had to have hurt. Inside, she's like, holy shit, that hurts so bad.
Yeah, but he was really cool, so I'm going to give him massive props for that. Phil, a fan favorite. You know, we hear all these rumblings of people hating on Phil and also all of the LIV golfers. I didn't hear one negative comment. I didn't hear any less cheers for any LIV player. There was none of that. And actually, Phil and Jordan Spieth had one of the biggest crowds following them that day. And so, again, I think the things you hear in golf media, because we are all chronically online, are just factually not true when you are in the real world and watching golf live. None of that happened. There was no negativity towards any LIV player.
Well, that's a huge win for this week. I'm glad that there wasn't a lot of drama like we were anticipating, which you said, again, I think that's just people making up storylines just to make up storylines. Mickelson and Spieth would have been the group that I would have wanted to watch if I had Sunday tickets. I mean, I love vintage Phil, and I feel like that's what he was giving us on Sunday. I mean, his thumbs got to be hurting today. They were out. And he was like fist pumping, doing his little hat tip. He was so cute out there. And I think it was really cool. However, I did think it was interesting that they didn't really show him at all. I know you probably didn't watch because you were out there. On Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they didn't show him. Like, I can't count five times that they showed him on the broadcast. And so I just picture him going back to his house on Saturday night and being like, F you guys, I'm going to make you show me. And he went out and shot 7 under on the last day. At that point, they're like forced to show him, right? So I just thought that was really, really great. I think that that's what he needed, quote unquote, if, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, for the controversy against him. And I think it was just really awesome. He jumped from 425th in the world rankings to 72nd.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about how this will affect LIV and the PGA Tour, because it was a very mixed leaderboard right at the top. And what are they going to do with the world rankings now? But one more thing I did want to mention that I thought was really interesting being on the grounds was the most hated player was Brooks Koepka by far.
Yeah, I still can't decide like what his angle is, because on Full Swing, I don't think he came off that great, but then you and some of my other friends like thought he came off great and they like him more now. And so I think it just really goes to show, like, it's about, you know, what your personal predisposition beliefs about people. And I don't know, I think Jenna's super cute and cool and I want them to do well. And I'm glad that he was back in the mix. I will say that. I think it was good for the game.
I think it was good as well. And it was really interesting because at one point, because there are no phones, you get your live scoring from the massive scoreboards that are around. And so when there was that big shift, when Rahm went to 10 and then Brooks went to 10, they threw up Brooks's score to 10 to tie it up. And everyone went wild, was like screaming because they were so happy that Brooks wasn't winning. And I've always been a big Brooks fan. And I think that there's just not a lot of good clips of him that go viral. And I think that he's set up in a negative way a lot of the times through little quotes that they grab or things that they post. Because I saw something the other day where it was after a presser and he was going to fist bump someone and he went snail, butterfly, and laughed. And no one sees that side of him. And even watching him on the range and watching him interact with anyone, he stopped for kids more than anyone else. He was smiling. He was joking with everyone. And you don't see that side. And as well, he was getting a lot of hate for talking about the pace of play. But they asked him a question. He answered it honestly. And so I can see why he has a chip on his shoulder, because it just doesn't seem justified. It doesn't seem fair. And it was really interesting to see everyone else's reaction to Brooks. And it was very negative. It didn't feel like he had a lot of positivity on his side to get it done. And that must be really difficult going into a tournament. You're not playing well. And also, you know that like thousands of people are rooting against you. I, as a people pleaser, I could not handle that.
I mean, we understand this. You understand this more than anybody listening to this. When somebody's committed to hating you, like, they're going to find all the clips, do whatever it takes, like paint every comment you make in a bad light. And I feel like that's what's happened to him. We don't see any of those clips that you mentioned floating around on social media. We don't see any clips of him being like silly, funny. Yet Jenna will go and post on her Instagram story, like him being silly, him being stupid, him bringing her coffee in the morning. Like, we don't see any of that. And so I feel like, I'm not saying that I don't think that Brooks is a good guy. I think he's a good person, but I think it's really unfortunate that he's not painted in that light with some of the genuine stuff that he does do, because a lot of people are just committed to not liking him.
100% agree. Last thing that I'm going to mention, Tiger's the GOAT. Biggest crowds, all the chatter was about him going back to overheard at the Masters. It was all about Tiger, talking about, is he going to withdraw? Talking about how he's played before, talking about following him. When are you going to see him? Everyone was enamored with Tiger Woods and trying to watch him play. And he's the GOAT. He has been the GOAT and he will forever be the GOAT. The sheer power that he has over everyone in golf is just insane. And not only that, but he is the most intimidating figure on the golf course. We were talking about his appearance and how incredibly athletic and built he looked compared to a bunch of the other golfers, where I was surprised a lot of them look smaller than, you know, seeing them on TV, and he looked bigger.
Yeah, I think speaking of power, his physical power as well is incredible. Every time he tees it up nowadays, I'm shocked at how much longer he's hitting it than everyone else, how much faster his swing speed is, his smash factor. And I think it's really what it just kind of makes me sad, because knowing that walking is what's holding him back. I mean, we saw some shots this week that it's like, holy shit, he really still can't hit that shot. And it's insane. But then the walking is what's holding him back. And that just sucks, you know?
And it's probably frustrating for him that he still feels like he can compete at the highest level, but his body is not able to keep up with, you know, how he's feeling on the inside. That must be the most frustrating feeling. And he ended up withdrawing, which I think was the smart move. Watching him grimace and fight through the Saturday, which was the rain delay. They had to play in the rain. It was shitty weather. It was so unbelievably cold. And he was grimacing the entire time I saw him on 13. He was using his club as a walking stick. It just was, it was tough. And Jason Day even made some really interesting comments.
This really was disturbing. And I didn't see it last night, and I'm really glad that I didn't, because I probably would have had a nightmare about it. I saw it this morning that in Jason Day's press conference, which, by the way, shot 80 on Sunday. Do you want to talk about that,
please? Jason Day is the smartest man alive, because he was like, nope, no one's going to talk about my 80. I'm going to bring up the most interesting Tiger Woods story that I can think of, so no one will ever mentioned that. I mean, he's a brilliant man. I mean, if I were in that position, I would have also done the same thing, because no one's going to mention it now. Everyone's going to talk about Tiger Woods in the story.
It's true. In the article that I found this story in, they did not mention what Jason Day shot. Anyway, getting right to it. Jason Day said in his press conference that in the 2022 PGA, when Tiger withdrew, that a screw broke through Tiger's skin, and that's what forced him to withdraw. So that's disgusting.
Sometimes when I'm walking, I'll get like a blister and I'm like, can I finish this round of golf? I don't know. I mean, this heel blister is like disgusting. It's bleeding. It hurts so bad. Can you imagine a fucking screw?
And that's what makes me, I mean, yeah, we know he has screws and a lot of metal in his legs specifically, but that's got to hurt so bad in the cold. Like the cold metal, oh my God, I can't imagine. And then breaking through his skin. First of all, how does that even, yeah, I'm getting the ick right now. Big ick.
It just shows you Tiger's mental ability to fight through any adversity, and he's just not human. And I think if any normal human being was put through half of what Tiger was put through, I don't think any of us would have survived. Not only just the physical pain, but the surgeries, the personal issues, the conflict, I mean, it emotionally and physically, he has been put through the ringer, and he shows why he is the best in the world, because he is truly just built different. Because brain is just different. And it'd be fascinating to analyze it one day and see what's going on up there, because he just does not think the way that normal people think. And he doesn't feel pain or pressure in anything the same way that normal people feel it.
That's one of the things that bothers me when people talk about who's going to be the next Tiger. Oh, is Scottie Scheffler going to be the next Tiger? Is Jon Rahm, is Rory? I'm like, imagine, this is going to sound bad, but imagine Scottie Scheffler with a screw hanging out of his leg. He would be crying like on TV, like making a big deal out of it. And I love Scottie Scheffler, but no one on tour right now has the mental capacity and that next level, like you're talking about, that Tiger does. And so when people say that, it's like, it kind of
laugh
like,
out loud funny.
Yeah, it's like, ugh, like how dare you compare these people to Tiger? I just think it's, again, like you said, I'm glad he withdrew. I think that was the right call, 30 holes on that last day. I mean, even though the weather ended up being nice, that would have been tough.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
The closest person to having the mental toughness of Tiger, I think, is Jon Rahm. And he proved that this week. He got it done, outplayed everyone with the shittiest tee time of all time. He got royally fucked over with his tee time. He had one of the best rounds going of almost the entire tournament in the worst weather. I was out there on Saturday. It was so fucking cold and pouring down rain. I can't imagine hitting golf shots in that weather. The course was drenched, absolutely drenched. It was muddy. It was gross. The ball was flying about 50 yards less. And he played out of his mind. So, so impressive to play that well in that bad of conditions.
Yeah, the conditions, honestly, when you texted me that, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sure it sucked out there. It really didn't look that bad on TV. Like, you can't tell how much the rain is coming down on TV. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, like, it looks kind of cold, like, looks pretty muddy. But hearing you describe it, I'm like, wow, it must have really been coming down. And I think he definitely has that second gear that we're talking about. I mean, he came from behind. What did he make up, like, 8 strokes? He was behind Brooks by 3 or 4 and then one by 3 or 4. So, I mean, it was fun to watch for sure. I really wasn't rooting for him at first. I did want Brooks to win, but then when Rahm, you know, was leading and kind of was proving that he was going to stay there, I was like, oh, well, Kelly Rahm's pretty cute too. Like, okay, we can root for Kelly.
I heard a really cute Kelly Rahm story. So they met at ASU. She was a tennis player. Jon Rahm was on the golf team, and she found him sneaking Gatorades and power bars because he didn't have enough money to pay for his own food. And so she was like, none of that anymore. And so she started buying all of his food for him, which I think is absolutely adorable. And like a year or two later, she was watching the Golf Channel and they were talking about Jon Rahm being incredible. And she was shocked. And she was like, I had no idea you were this good. I mean, Tao is like the next phenom. And that made me really like her and see that they've been together for such a long time. And we do see that with a bunch of these golfers, that a lot of them have met in college or high school sweethearts, or, you know, they've just been together for such a long time. And you do need that support system to bring you to that next level. And she seems like a really good compliment to him. But yeah, I said he had a really great shot to win after he played lights out in the rain, because that's such a confidence booster to know that you're playing better than anyone else, even in shitty conditions, and you are mentally tougher to fight through that. I think if you're looking back on it, you're like, Brooks had the best tee times, perfect weather. Of course he was playing well. But to see Jon Rahm shoot that well, that might be a little bit intimidating to see that. And also he kind of had a day off and he just unfortunately had to play the most golf when he wasn't feeling it that day. So it ended up working out not so great for Brooks. And you know what? It's probably because I like Brooks. I hate seeing people online and in person kick a guy when he's down and talk about how bad he choked. It just was brutal. I mean, to be in that situation and to know that you let it go, and he's probably being so hard on himself already, and then to see people on social media making jokes at his expense really made me upset. And again, I think it's because I like him, because I have done this to other players that I don't like. It was very hypocritical of me, and I'm acknowledging that, but to see it from the other end, it was brutal. I felt so bad for him.
I think being self-aware like you are is key. So that's great. But I do think it's interesting. I don't think we're giving enough. I don't want to say the word credit. I don't think we're factoring in enough the fact that this was the first time he's been playing and competing against these guys on that big of a stage in a really long time. And I know that Brooks is a hard ass and he gets up for the majors and whatever, but like it or not, like that had to have an effect on how he played the last 2 days. I mean, he's been playing at Orange County National with no grass and 100 people around the greens. Then going to the Masters, I mean, it's a completely different ballgame when you're hunting down the, what is Jon Rahm going to be the number one player in the world? I think it's just a different environment that I don't think people factored in enough that would affect anyone.
Not only that, but all of his injuries that he is coming back from, people thought that he just was playing bad because he just was having a bad stretch. No, he was having surgery and it was on different parts of his body. Like he had a really rough stretch with getting injured constantly. And this is the first time that he actually feels healthy again. And a healthy, confident Brooks is a dangerous Brooks. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with the future majors. But we had three LIV players at the top of the leaderboard mixed in there. And I don't think they, unless they had someone win from LIV and it was, you know, probably Brooks, they could not have had a better showing. They really, all of them really showed up.
Yeah, I think it was awesome to watch. I didn't hear many, you know, little spats about it. I just thought it was great. I didn't feel like it was LIV versus PGA Tour. In my opinion, it felt like we rewinded 2 years and I was just watching a Sunday at a major. And I think that was great. I think the leaderboard was fantastic. Obviously, I missed like Scheffler, Rory being up there for sure. Rory missed the cut, which was tough. But let's talk about the pace of play.
I was just going to say, Sam, do you think Cantlay is off the course yet? I'm looking at my watch. Oh my God. It was in person. It was even worse. And there were plenty of times when people around me were like, hit the golf ball. It was, you felt like he was going to go. And then he looked 10 more times. It was so incredibly slow, and nothing bothers me more than playing with and or watching slow pace of play. And I think that ruined Brooks more than anything. If they were ahead of them, I think Brooks would have been more in it because he is such an incredibly fast player. Sometimes I'd look and he's hitting already, and Jon Rahm also a fast player, but I think John was even slowing down a little bit because he saw Brooks was getting a bit frustrated by the pace of play ahead of him.
What frustrated me, and I'm sure, like you said, it was worse in person because you're seeing the whole thing rather than when they just cut to Cantlay and hitting. I think what I saw, I think it was on 16, that bothered me about Cantlay is not only is he slow over the ball, but when he's walking around to read his putts, he's like just moseying around, just walking as slow as he can. I'm like, dude, you know there's people behind you. Like at some point to me, I don't know if it was intentional or, I mean, Cantlay had no chance of winning at that point. He was far too far behind. It's not the being slow over the ball or whatever. It's the being slow when you have an opportunity to be faster, like walk faster, read your putt before it's your turn. I mean, this goes for anybody listening here, but it was, that's what bothered me the most about it.
Sam, it was the aim point on the 1 foot putts for me.
Just hit it really hard and aim in the middle.
Sam Bennett, too, was so incredibly slow. So slow. And some people were saying it's a major. They could take their time. No, you can't do that. In any other sport, there's shot clocks. You just don't get as much time as you want. And I think they need to make an example of some of these players to push it along, because that's just against the nature of golf, the tradition of golf, the spirit of the game of golf. You have to play quickly. You just have to do that. It's in the rule book. You only have a certain amount of time, and they're going up to like the millisecond to the end of the clock. And it's unbelievable. It was so slow. I can't express enough how slow they were moving and the process of like reading putts and going through their routine. And it was like for 1-2 footers. And I get there's a lot of money on the line, a lot of points on the line. This is really important, but speed it up. I mean, come on.
It was tough to watch. Okay.
Sam, who was the slowest player that you remember from college or junior golf? You don't have to say their name, but what's like one story about them? Because there was always a handful of them that when you would get paired up with that slow player, you would dread it. Like night before you'd see your pairing and you just know that you were in for such a long, frustrating round of golf, especially in AJGA. They have the time clock. And so they time you in every third hole. They give you a green card or a red card. And if you get 2 red cards in a row, then I think it's a penalty or they'll come and watch you. And so they have a really great system. There was this one girl who was so incredibly slow. And she had this practice routine where she would do a slow backswing, but she would hit every position like her arms were like the clock. And it would take her forever to do a practice swing. It drove me insane. And I played with her all the time because we were like the same skill level. We would always shoot the same scores. And I still have nightmares about it. I remember her name. I remember the rounds of golf so vividly and hating every experience I had with her.
I don't have really an experience like that. Mine was more growing up when your parents were still involved. And like you had a caddy and then the girl just wanted to hit the shot. And the dad was like, well, no, let's walk over here. And I'm like, oh my God. And this, for me, it was more, I would run into like parents who would make it an issue. I was always a really fast player. Like my dad would like beg me to go to the other side and read the putt. And I think, like you said, I think that's how Brooks and Rom both were, which I think was tough being fast players together.
I agree with that. I do want to talk about Sam Bennett. So I had a bit of an interesting take on him. So everyone, of course, is saying that he's going to go on tour and dominate. Watching his swing in person, he's going to have so many back problems. And we've seen that with Jason Day, Will Zalatoris, who is now out for the rest of the season because he just had surgery. But he just has this swing that it looks painful. And he does not hit it that far. He doesn't hit it far enough, I feel like, to compete at the very highest level.
His swing, I saw a breakdown, like a frame by frame of his swing. It's a little concerning, like you said. Like if your spine angle is here when you're about to hit the shot, at impact, his spine angle dips like this. And what is the number one thing you teach a beginner? Like keep your spine angle the same, turn around your spine, just rotate your shoulders. And he's like this and then dipping so far down. I understand swing your swing, but at the same time, like you got to preserve yourself.
You have to have longevity in this.
Yeah, it was tough to watch for sure. And it was fast, but not hitting it that far. I don't know. It was all very strange. Did you see that he has a 36-hole tournament today? He flew home last night and has a 36-hole tournament today.
There's nothing I would rather not do.
I might withdraw from school.
If that's I would just be done with it. Interesting player, really an interesting story, a player that you want to root for. I'm just hoping that his back will hold up. And also, yeah, I kind of brushed over that, but yeah, Will Zalatoris, he withdrew from the tournament and now he is recovering from mystisectomy.
Microdiscectomy. I think you really messed it up there.
I think I nailed it, Sam. I think I nailed it.
Some kind of disc surgery in his back. We know he's had multiple, you know, back issues in the past. And it's, if he's having surgery this early and this young in his career, that's not a good sign. But hopefully he comes back better in 2024. He's going to take the whole season off. So interesting for sure.
Do you want to improve your game faster and hit your driver longer? The good news is ShotScope can help you achieve your goals. ShotScope has products for every golfer, such as GPS watches, laser rangefinders, and shot tracking devices designed to lower scores and improve your golf by over 4 shots on average. I use the Pro LX Plus rangefinder on the course to get my distances. What I love most about ShotScope is tracking my game and reviewing my stats. The great news is your personalized stats are completely free with no yearly subscription. If I can use it, anyone can. Jump over to ShotScope.com today and find the perfect product for you. And remember to use my code PAGE at checkout.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Next up we have, I said what I said, Augusta Style Edition. We did one of these last week. You guys loved it. Paige, do you want to go first?
I feel like your take is going to be hotter than mine, but I will say this goes against everything that I preach and I believe in. I love the traditionalness of the Masters. I love the fact that everyone dresses up, like all the women are looking so cute. All of the men are in their, you know, preppy little golf outfits. There are no phones. It's just such a magical place. It feels like Disney World for golf. It's just the way that everything is set up. There's just so much that I love about it. And it's also everything that I hate and that I'm trying to go against. And so it's these really conflicting feelings of loving this tournament and loving the no phones and loving everyone be present and looking just so posh and cute. And it's like, how can I love that and also stand for what I stand for and believe in that so strongly? And I think that this is a really great message, is that, like, you can still enjoy certain things and not take it so serious all the time. There's a time and a place for everything. Do I want every single tournament to be like that? Absolutely not. Would I want every single tournament to be like the waste management? Absolutely not. But it's nice to have the balance of both. And I think that that's what we need in golf media as well. We need a balance of everything. We need a balance of the people who go deep into the stats. We need a balance of the people who are for the everyday man. We need a balance for the people who are for the country club people. It's like you need a little bit of everything from everyone. And I think this is a perfect example of that. You can enjoy the Masters for what it is, and you can enjoy the waste management for what it is. And it doesn't make one better or worse than the other. It's just what works in that time. And that's what makes golf so great, is that you can have the traditionalists, you can have something that's not traditional, but you're still watching amazing golf with great people. And both are really fun and something that I equally enjoy.
I think the outfits was a big one. Walking around with you and the other girls we were with and just looking at everybody's outfits, I was like, I'm taking notes for the next years because these girls are going all out, and men too. And I think it was really great to see. I also think for you, there's probably not a lot of times where you are not only don't want to be on your phone, but forced to be without it. It was probably incredible.
It was really nice. And I will say I had a lot of people come up to me, and for once it was a face-to-face connection. You know, you were able to talk to them. You were able to discuss certain things instead of, hey, Paige, can I take a picture? You take a picture and they leave. And that can be a little, it's a weird feeling because one, they're always really nice, but I don't ever get to talk to them or get to know them. There's not much of a personal connection there. And so this tournament was really nice as well to talk to them and not have everyone's heads down and to not have this be a brief interaction. You could actually just not even think about that. And that is something that I really, really enjoyed. So thanks to everyone who came up to me. There's two things that people say when they come up to me. One, I help them with their bunker shot and their flop shot. And two is that they listen to the podcast and they love the podcast. So for all of you listening who came up to me, thank you so much for all the kind, sweet interactions. Really do have a really amazing community of people who support what we do.
Oh, that was so cute, Paige. So now we'll get to what I said, which is not so cute and funny. I think the par three contest has gotten out of control. What is this, daycare? Listen, I've never had baby fever as bad as I had it on Wednesday afternoon. It was too much. The babies are cute, okay? This used to be a great skills competition where you could see how players were feeling and doing going into the Masters. Now we've got Harold Varner and his baby trying to run into the water, and he's like chasing his baby because his baby's about to be in the creek. It's like, what is happening? And I don't even know. I understand players don't care who wins or who doesn't win. They're not, it's not about that. How are they keeping score? We've got kids making putts. We've got wives hitting shots. What is happening? I think it's gone too far.
I have to agree with you. I really have to agree with you. I think it should be limited to one person. So that could be your significant other. It could be your child. It could be a relative or a friend, but it needs to just be one person. You're right. Like, you're looking around and it's like everyone's extended family and they're all hitting shots. It's overwhelming and it's too much. I want to see the babies. I want to see the families. I think that's great, but one person is good. And then I think that'd be fun too, where it's like one year, one kid would get it. Next year, another kid would get it.
Well, Tony Finau is going to be 80 by the time all of his kids get a shot. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think, don't get me wrong. I think it's cool. I think it's cute. I think it's fun. I think it's a good tradition. I think it's just gone a little too far.
It has been really cool to see the guys grow up though, from, you know, like JT, Spieth, and like, well, Ricky didn't make it, but if he was, to see them go from like single to girlfriends, to fiancés, to getting married, to having kids, that progression has been really cute to see, and to see them interacting with their kids and to see them in a different light. But yeah, if you're chasing your kid around and they're doing like, you know, sand angels in the bunker, probably not the move. And it just doesn't seem very on brand for Augusta.
Yeah, that's another part that I think is the issue too. I don't know. I could go on and on about that, but let's wrap this all up with some TNA. Okay, Paige, somebody actually messaged us this. What is your favorite thing that you bought at the merchandise building?
I would say, so on Sunday, it was freezing in the morning. Absolutely bone-chilling cold. I was standing there at 5:30 a.m. with four layers on up top, and I just had leggings on down below. That was my problem. Shivering. Absolutely shivering. And so I kept buying things to warm me up, and I bought this blanket, this Masters pink blanket. And I think it's my favorite thing that I bought for myself. The coolest things that I bought are for two giveaways that we decided to do. One for my subscription site for the annual members at OnlyPage. We have picked the winners for that. So thank you guys so much for participating. But we could not leave the Playing Around podcast family out. And so we are picking five winners to get, Sam, what does it encompass?
Well, we picked out a lot of really cool swag for you guys. Pulling up the photo now, since Paige did not tell me she was going to toss to me about this.
I forgot we bought so much stuff.
We picked out a green rope hat, which has a really cool patch and like a circle patch in the front. It was the one all the guys were wearing. So we were like, I don't know, let's just pick this one. A coaster set, like paper, those paper coasters you get at a bar, but it's like 20 different ones. They're really cool. A really cool bottle opener, and then a Smathers and Branson needlepoint koozie. It's leather, and then it's got the needlepoint on it. So there again, there's going to be five winners. We're going to post it today on Tuesday, and you can make sure to check out our podcast Instagram account at Playing Around Podcast to enter.
Go and subscribe, leave a comment and screenshot, and that's how you're going to be entered. And you can DM me, Sam, or the podcast account. We'll be looking at all of those, and then we'll be picking the five winners. So really easy. If you are already subscribed, which I hope you are, leave that comment. That is the most important thing. So leave that comment, and just, it could be anything. You could say, hey, you could, hey, you could write something you like about the show, whatever you want. It could be anything, but just make sure you go leave a comment and screenshot and send it to one of us or the Playing Around podcast account. And that is how you are entered into the giveaway. What's your favorite thing that you got?
My favorite thing is...
Well, Sam bought the entire store, so she's okay, just going through the catalog of...
I barely bought anything for myself. All of it was for my boyfriend. And then I'm unpacking it all. I'm like, I only got one hat. What is going on? Like, where is my shit? I got this t-shirt, which is, oh, this way, which is pretty cool, which no one can see because this is an audio podcast. It's a blue t-shirt is pretty much it. I got the Masters hat with the green letters all over it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that hat a lot. It's a good hat.
Okay, two more questions. Can you do any trick shots?
I used to. I used to be okay with bouncing the golf ball. But then, this was very early on in my IG golf girl career. And I would just do like basic chip shots. And then people like Tanya and hole-in-one trick shots came around, and they are truly artists. And so I just looked like an idiot. Just be like, hey, look, I can bounce a golf ball. And they're like throwing it behind and spinning it and doing all this stuff. So I don't do any trick shots anymore. The one that I guess I'm known for is I can throw it up and I can catch in my tits. But, you know, that's about it. That's all I got.
Well, yeah, now you can't even pick it up with the back of your putter. So like,
I've never been able to do that. I'm just like, I'm not good at that. I don't know why. I feel like I should be, but I'm just not.
Things that are embarrassing.
You're good at that. You're good at bouncing the ball.
Having to use your foot to pick up your golf ball. That's embarrassing.
I'm working on it.
Anyway, no, I can't do any trick shots. I can knock it up with the wedge and then hit it sometimes, but
that's anyway. Impressive.
What's the funniest or most memorable interaction you've had with a fan?
Oh, gosh. I've had two. So the first one was when I played ACC Tahoe for the first time, which was like 6 years ago now. And there's the par 3, hole 17. It's right along the water. Everyone brings their boats up and they stand on the beach. And there was this guy yelling like, Paige, Paige, Paige. And he was like, hey, I don't have anything to sign. Can you sign my arm? And so I signed his arm and I see him the next day and he comes back and it is like tattooed on his arm. He got my signature tattooed on his arm and it's there forever, which was so cool. So I saw it in person, like the tattoo, and he'll still like DM me and stuff. And he's always been like really supportive and cool, but that was one. And then one interaction that was probably my least favorite was I was playing in Monday After the Masters, I think 4 or 5 years ago. And this guy's wife had her tits signed by John Daly. And he was waiting for me because there was like some bet or something going on that she had to get her tits signed by John Daly and he had to get his ass signed by me. And so he like drops trousers and bends over. And I have a Sharpie in my hand. And of course I said yes to it, it's peer pressure. Everyone was cheering and they were all drunk. And I'm like I'm signing my name, but there's this picture of me literally bent over and like full arm extended because I didn't want to get close up to it. And I'm like fighting the ass hair and like his butt crack and like God knows what else was going on in that situation. But yeah, I signed an ass.
That's disturbing. I also did not know the tattoo story. Honestly, if that guy's not listening to this podcast, then he shouldn't have gotten your name tattooed on his arm.
No, he like supports everything that I do and he'll message me like all the time. He's super nice and super cool. So I'm glad it was a good one who ended up doing that. But he's done that before. He has like all these tattoos and it's just something like that he does. And that was probably two of my most memorable interactions. But I'm really lucky that most of the interactions that I have with people, they're so respectful. They are so nice. There's just been like a handful of really kind of weird ones. I remember at ACC Tahoe this year, this guy goes, hey Paige, I got a tattoo of you. And I look over and it's this golf girl, just like topless. And I'm like looking at it and I'm like, oh, her boobs are too small. That's not me. I like didn't know what else to say. And then I had another guy at Tahoe. Everything happens at Tahoe. He like comes up and he's like, I was so nice to him. And he's like, I want you to sign this. And it was my leaked picture. And I just stood there white, like blood drained from my face, turned white, froze, and just started crying. There was like kids around, everything. It was absolutely horrible. And then at Tahoe this last year, I had another weird interaction. And I'm just, everything good and bad happens at ACC Tahoe.
I was going to say, maybe we reconsider that one.
Well, I don't think I'm invited back again this year because of the whole tea debacle that I started last year.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, last one. If you were to give a golf club to an animal, what animal do you think would be the best golfer and why? Don't ask me where I came up with these questions.
Well, I need to hear your answer because I know you've definitely thought about this one.
I have thought about this one. I think it would be a bear.
A bear. Interesting.
Because it's already kind of like in the right position. Like if it's up on its back legs.
Yeah, that makes sense. He can't grip a club, though. He doesn't have fingers.
I'm pretty sure they do.
They're paws, but they're not, like, they can't, like, grip, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I haven't thought this through enough.
I'd probably pick, like, an orangutan.
Well, yeah, because they say we, like, came from monkeys, don't they?
I don't know. I feel like that is a hot topic that people can look at.
That's really dropping a bomb 55 minutes into this podcast.
Anyway. Let's talk about evolution.
Okay. I think that's our sign to cut it.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And don't forget to enter the Playing Around Augusta merch giveaway that we are running. We are picking 5 winners. So again, all you have to do is subscribe. If you're not already subscribed, leave a message, screenshot that message, send it over to us. It could be on my account, Sam's account, or the Playing Around Podcast account. We will see it. And that's how you're entered. Super quick, easy. And I really hope that you guys like all of the merch. We put a lot of heart into it. And I think we picked out some really great stuff for you guys. So That's it. I cannot end these episodes. It's been like 3 years of doing this, and I get to this point and I just like freeze. Okay, but bye guys. Like, I don't know. I don't want this to end. Like, this is so much fun, you know?
This is just like a little catch-up sesh that we happen to record and put online. So, okay, how do we end phone calls? Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Win money betting on golf this year. Betting on golf is fun, but picking winners isn't easy. BetSports Golf has the data, tools, and experts to turn your Sundays into paydays. Members get in-depth articles, research tools, and our team's picks each and every week. If you had bet $100 on every wager the BetSports Golf team had recommended last year, you'd be up nearly $10,000. For a limited time, you can head to BetSportsGolf.com to get a special price on a year-long subscription.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination. Get in zone,
AutoZone. You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.